Welcome to Outrageous. Well, we've got him back from the dead, and we didn't think he would, but he has. He's come up again. I mean, we did our best to get rid of him, to be honest. We planted this piece of furniture, would you believe, in this old house, and he caught his finger, his index finger anyway, whatever it is, and he got a bit of a funny mark there.
Yeah.
And it blew up, and he blew up. Go on, tell us the story.
I went like a waterbed, Rodney. It was just incredible. Yeah, the truth is, it wasn't in my house. It was, we were looking at some furniture in a furniture shop. But this furniture shop is fairly well known for, bringing in foreign furniture, things from Asia, from China, everything. It's a good shop. We bought this. This came from it.
It's known for killing people as well, but go on.
Anyway, so I'm just walking around the shop, and it's impossible. This is the impossibility of it. That's what's left of the damage to my finger. Horrible, don't look at it too much. But I just felt like I'd banged that part of my finger against the table. And I went, oh, like that, like in a very manly fashion. I went, oh, like that. And I went to see her. I said, look at me finger, look at me finger. And there was just a little tiny round bruise, just a circular bruise about that big, about an eighth of a quarter of an inch big. And I said, look at that, look at that. And we're all going, oh, look at that, that's funny, and all that stuff. Anyway, half an hour later, I realised it's not really like a bruise. It's starting to throb. So we went to the chemist shop, which is what you do now in Britain. You don't go to the doctors, you go to a chemist shop, or you don't go to A&E. If your leg's dropped off, you go to the chemist. What can I do about my leg falling off, doctor, chemist? And he said, that's not a bruise. I said, no, it's not a bruise. He says, no, that's a bite. I said, but it's whatever month it is, I'm delirious. And and then inexorably it went bloom, bloom, bloom. And my hand was like that. Unbelievable. I've never felt so ill in my life. And I got loads of stuff pumped into it. Then I got a chest infection, which the doctor said was probably because I got a finger. My own finger was poisoning. Give me a chest infection. Then I got a headache. Oh, terrible. Anyway, it's gone now.
That's all right. Why didn't you have the finger cut off straight away? We would have saved a lot of messing around.
It's one of my best fingers. That's one of my best figures. I use it for all sorts.
Yes.
You can't just chop it off.
No, I suppose not. Well, it's good to have you back, lad. And listen.
Thank you very much. Very nice to see you. Looking very well, if I may say so.
Well, there you go. You see, it's all the sunshine that is about to start. It's been blooming awful here. People don't believe it, but they do now because they've got no lettuce, tomato, and cucumbers on the shelves. We've had the worst winter in southern Spain and North Africa than ever before. And when they tell you it's Brexit, rubbish. The fact is that Spain's keeping all its cucumbers here, which I'm very glad to say because I like cucumbers. But they have two varieties. They've got the traditional, let's call them Dutch English ones, the big long ones. And then they have these pepinos, which are little diddy ones. Pathetic. Ones, yeah. But they taste the same. But we've got plenty. There's no shortages here. But of course, if you produce them, you're going to save them for yourself first, aren't you, before exporting them?
Well, can I just ask a question for the elucidation of the public on this? I accept what you're saying. Nothing, no argument at all. But why are they keeping them? Is this not like the housing stock in Spain? Oh, look, we've got a load of cucumbers. Let's keep them. Oh, look, we've got loads of empty houses. Let's build some more. Is not this the strange mentality of the Spanish business people?
Well, no, it's tomatoes more than anything. I mean, all...
See, he lied.
I'm lying. It's the tomatoes because they're all part of the deal, the major part, because as everybody knows, Southern Europe, especially Greece, Italy and Spain and Portugal, major, everything's tomato, which is one of the healthy parts of the diet. So we're not going to give it to Northern Europe when we're short ourselves.
So that's it. So it's like a war of tomato attrition. They're just attacking the rest of the world with their tomato. Why do they chuck them at each other? These big events in there, like where you chuck tomatoes at each other, you trip a bull up and chuck a tomato at it.
In that order.
In that order, well, you got to trip it up because it might, yeah. You know.
No, you're right, because usually tomatoes are to a penny here.
Yeah.
And, I tell you, we do rejoice. Let's rub it in, mate, as everybody knows we're in Spain at the moment. Is that when, at this time of the year, the oranges are incredible, fantastic. Mm. You get 3 kilos of oranges for the same price that you pay for one in Britain. Now, apart from the fact it's homegrown, somebody's profiteering there, mate.
Of course they are. I have no idea what a banana or an orange costs in Britain. But I'll tell you, I just know by instinct I can't afford them anymore. It's just incredible. I was mentioning to this nice Rodney person here earlier on. Now, people are across the world, the vast amount of viewers we've got in different parts of the world, like the one viewer, yeah. Or could be 1 million that we have. Do you know what Bisto is? And it comes in a round cardboard box, because it's really, you know, like, how can that be healthy? Anyway, so 99p it used to cost, like that. You put it in, make gravy. Nice gravy, very nice. You can make better if you make it yourself. He's got a recipe. But now it's £1.65. Now, the basics of the diet in the Mediterranean are basic onions and tomatoes and oranges and bananas. That's your diet over there. Right. In Britain, you have chips and gravy. What can't we afford over here? Chips and gravy anymore. We're all going to die.
Well, you'll survive, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure. We had a chat before coming on air, and he was talking about this, the Bisto. And we found some yesterday in Iceland. We got Iceland over here and in Portugal.
Yeah.
It's called Overseas Supermarkets, because you just don't get only Iceland stuff. You get things like Waitrose stuff, their essentials, and Co-op stuff, and all sorts of things you can get over here. We noticed that aforementioned Bisto was £3.50 in English money over here. Because the Spanish take their vengeance, obviously a Brexit thing, a lot of it, and the import duties are horrendous. But if you're that keen on British food, at least you can get it over here.
It's interesting. You can get British food over there. You can't get it over here. Isn't that funny? You can, really. You can get food. But you've got to pay for it, man. It's not cheap. And the sight of the shelves in supermarkets being literally empty is something we've not seen. We only ever saw it in the war. Then we saw it in the pandemic. And now we're seeing it again. And I believe, I stand up. I am an independent journalist. I can stand up by myself. And I will say categorically, this is not reality. Something is going on. Why, when we're in a crisis, oil's come down. You know, diesel has come down, right? It costs the same amount as petrol, right? Why do we have to pay, generally, 20-odd p a litre more for diesel when it costs the same to buy for the retail?
You're being punished, Lee. You're being punished. We always have been in the UK. Yeah. They tax it on the pretense.
Yeah.
That it's so-called green. Mm. Now, we have become a state of the great state of Europe. Of course, Spain is part of it. The Greens want to punish us here. Now, for the first time in its whole history, and in most countries in Europe, petrol is lower priced than diesel. Because it's supposed to be clean. No, it's not. If you drive a modern vehicle with the blue liquid mixed in, it's actually cleaner than petrol. So they're after profit making out of you, of course, after false green. There's a lot of false green around. And if we're talking about bills coming down, petrol prices coming down and gas prices coming down, it's because of the Greens that we're still paying this ridiculous amount of money. And, especially in Britain, our love of the foreign trader, because the foreign trader, believe it or not, it's not BP and Shell, they're making a fortune, but that's not where the big money is. It's these traders. And that's why in Britain, you're paying ridiculous amounts of extras. We don't pay it here in Spain or in other countries. It's what we believe in, the free market. Now, whether it's the free market for illegal immigrants coming over because we don't go against the law, even though it's justice, inverted commas. But we're a strange nation, you know.
In what way? Why are we a strange nation?
Because other people grab hold of things quickly. Now, yeah. That brings us on to Rishi. Maybe he's not such a complete plonker after all. Time will tell. He appears to have grabbed hold of the Northern Ireland deal. It will only truly come out when all the lawyers go through all the pages and see what deal has been done. It won't be either another dodgy deal that the lawyers are particularly happy about, or it will be the genuine article. So actually, if it's the genuine article and Rishi sorts this out, and then he sorts the boat people, etc., and starts on the NHS, because he's not much time there, there is a possibility of him actually retaining power.
I think the point you're making is very, very good and very, very true. Richie Sunak, as one of the better off people in Britain, admits that he comes from a background of opulence and security, and like you say, he's done very well for himself financially. And in that way, he has so much experience and knowledge, and can compete in the right marketplaces, etc. He comes across as a very affable, straightforward, honest, rather almost childlike little gnomic figure, and can be very charming, very witty. And has that big hound dog or doe-eyed look of honesty, which is sort of like that, which is the new look of politicians. Let's all go like that and be all sweet and nice and non-manly. But the problem is, the truth is, yes, he's jumped on Brexit, sorted it, finally. Now, it doesn't matter if you think that Brexit is a brilliant idea or a terrible idea. It's what we've got. It's what we've got. And if you've looked at Twitter, all these ridiculous social media sites, why do we want Brexit? Why we should end Brexit? Yeah, you should have done that when you had the chance to do it democratically 5 years ago. You didn't bother. Is it 5 years? I don't know. A long time ago, anyway. And you didn't bother. So now, shut up moaning. Get behind Richie Sunak, right? I know he's called Rishi, really, but he is very rich. And, let's support him in doing what we as a country, not me, not him, not all the rest of the country, but just as a country, we all wanted, then decided we didn't. I never wanted it in the first place, but I'm willing to back the country. But the other problem that Richie Sunak has got is that he thinks all he's got to do is do what Boris Johnson was doing. Brilliant. Well, I tell you what, Richie, you should have been out in the Ukraine standing up against Putin and the Russians while you were at home playing around with all these little things. You should have been there like Boris was. Boris is the new Churchill, and I don't even like him.
There you go. Well, to be fair on Rishi, he did go over there and it was a bit cold.
The right time.
So he came back quick.
After Boris, oh, look, Boris has gone, let's do that. Let's get over there. What about everything else he's doing? Yeah, he's given the country loads and loads and loads of money. Everybody who's had a business or power is in trouble. Loads of money, I'll help you pay your electricity bill, said Richie. Right, yeah, we'll help you do that, we'll do all this. Yeah, he did. But all of a sudden, you're starting to see now the taxes coming in. Oh, everything's going up. Everything's starting to bleed as dry. Yeah, you got your 300 quid to help out with your electricity bill. Try switching on your electric in 3 months' time when it stops being given to you. You'll get a bit, but you won't get anything like that anymore. What about the businesses helped out throughout the pandemic crisis? We were helped out. We paid our tax on it and everything, but we are paying it back. That's fine. It was our money. Why are we going to borrow our money? Why do we get our own money back off the government and have to give it them back again? Well, I didn't want to give it them in the first place.
No, people forget that. They think, oh, the government's got all this sort of money and they can spend it wherever they can. It's our blooming money. Take care of it, because we don't vote for you. Right, I've got a question. Well, I've got two questions.
First of all,
over your left shoulder, is that an aspidistra?
It's a bit of a dead aspidistra.
It's not the biggest aspidistra in the world, is it? Exactly.
No. It's a bit. It came in kit form. It was made by a firm called Eartha. Yeah, and
to tell you the truth, we put him on one side today because it's called framing. A lot of people think you've got to always be in the middle of a picture. No, you're not. We thought that is aspidistra looks a bit better than him at the moment. So we'll bring the aspidistra. So there you go. That's the reason. So we quickly move on.
Yes.
To the IoT. Now, the IoT is sneaking up on us and is going to be, I prophesy, the biggest thing since internet. It's all part of it. Because IoT stands for Internet of Things. Now, what is Internet of Things? Well, really, it means connectivity of everything. Mm. Now, the Chinese come into this because they produce, I don't know, massive percentage of our chips, Internet of Things.
Yeah.
Of course, the police have been caught out because they're using cameras and various other things produced in China. What's China doing? Is China able to get into Mr. Hawaii and other people into your living room, into your fridge, into your alarm system, into your computer? Where have you been? What's your tax bill? Well, there's a simple answer to these questions. And the answer is yes. Everything's connected. From your fridge, to your washing machine, to your car, to CCTV. And do you think China is going to sit back and just say, oh, thank you for buying this off us? No, they're not. They're going to spy on you and are doing it now. That is truly frightening.
I couldn't agree more. I do think it's a little bit unfair just to pick out China as the ones, because it's not only China doing it, every other country in the world is doing it. China has the biggest percentage or claim on the marketplace of technology. Yeah. Therefore, it's probably one of the biggest watchers. But it's not just a Chinese problem, believe me. Britain's watching you just as much. Spain, in particular, is watching you. I looked at the freedom of information and exchange of truth figures. And do you know that Britain is below many Central European countries in the sharing of facts and truth and honesty and being transparent. China is not the worst. Russia's pretty bad, you know. Lots of places do it. Now, should we be watched by every movie? Yes, we should. Yes, we should categorically be watched on everything that we do. Why? One simple reason, because we are stupid enough to be taken in the first place. And you reap what you sow. And we did it. Do you know, I had an experience 2 days ago. Only 2 days ago, because it's the only one. My phone's been broke for a day, so I don't know if it's happened again. But I mentioned to Andrea in passing. And I can't even remember what the subject was. Now I do. I remember exactly what it was. We wanted, we were looking at a Galaxy, whatever it is, new phone for Andrea, because she's fed up with her phone. Just mentioned in passing, Galaxy, whatever it is, Pixel, right? Just mentioned in passing. No phones turned on. Sally wasn't on at the time. The computers weren't on. First thing, when I go on Facebook, Galaxy, thing like that. Now, if that is not you being watched in your house, then look at your television. Come midnight or come 1 o'clock in the morning or after you've watched for that, what is your television doing when it says, excuse me, are you still watching? What's it got to do with you?
You're right, but I've got a question to ask, and it's very important. If it's that easy, and it is, because if you actually dial up a thing once on a Google, as an example, yeah, you will get inundated with Galaxy. Samsung is Galaxy. I think you're talking about the Google picture. Pixel, the teeth.
That's it. That's the one.
To avoid confusion, which is good. They're both good phones. If one hit can cause you to be inundated, why is it taking everybody so long not to bang up the pervs that are on the net downloading pictures of kids?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is a very good point indeed. Why are perverts and pornographers protected by the internet? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm not protected by the internet. I had another experience where I said something about, I can't remember. It was a food company, a shop. I've not entered the internet. I've not typed it into Google or anything. This is just word of mouth with machines around the house. And I mentioned this company called Greg's, I think. They do really brilliant pasties. And there it is, immediately on my phone, Greg's. Yeah, no, it's wrong. We are reaping what we sowed. We sowed this artificial intelligent world. We thought it would be benefits, costing us jobs. We're now in a situation where artificial intelligence will write novels for us, write film scripts, write news stories. We have killed ourselves, and robots are taking over, just like it was predicted so many centuries, decades, well, last century. Do you know, the clue is this. How many times are you stopped? You, the person who bought your computer, who laid out the cash, who went to a shop or did it online, whatever. How often are you stopped by a robot that looks you straight in the eye, one eye, straight, says, are you a robot? Can you prove you're not?
Well, yes. I go to the experts to get around this. Apparently, Hunter Biden's an expert because he can get around anything on his computer. If he can do it, we move on. Now, the next section of our dissertation is about women.
Women! Oh. I love women! I go to the women baths every day.
Yes, there you go. Well, we both do, because we're brilliant, males and females, equally brilliant. This next section is going to sound as though we're not.
Oh.
There is a difference between men and women, and it's been highlighted in so many ways recently. Surprise, surprise. But there's a war going on, which we've known about for decades. And it's been started, of course, by, let's name the Women's Liberation Movement and things of that nature, donkeys years ago. And now it's come to bite back. And it's false. Women are better at certain things. Men are better at others. The way to compliment people and become truly equal is for them to combine their efforts, especially, boring old conservative that I am, in marriage, as an example. Now, I'm going to give some examples here. We've been rightly cheering our women's football team, even though it was a European Cup, not a World Cup. You'd have thought it was a World Cup. That comes shortly, actually. So we'll see how they're doing that one. They're a pretty good team. But what's gone on this winter is a lot of cold and ice. And they've called off that many matches, you wouldn't believe, because they don't want to hurt themselves when they fall over, because the ground's hard. Well, you can get around that. You turn in on the electric by turning on the electric blanket under the pitch. But all major football teams and even the reserve teams now. And in the training, I believe, you can heat the ground so that when you fall over, it's not ouch. They can't do that with the ladies, unfortunately, because very few people watch the ladies' matches, of course, as opposed to the men. Now, if you watched a football match, especially live, you can understand that. There's a miles difference between the physicality, and we don't expect the ladies to have physicality like that. If they pay, play good football, and it's touchy, passy, and they score, that's fine. And it's entertainment, especially for the girls. But we cannot compare apples and pears, which we are now doing. We can do everything. Sorry, girls, you're not built like we are. We're not built like you, and we can't do a lot of things that you can. There again. So that's illustrated one point we may be making. The other point, which is rather larger, I was really out of my tiny mind this week because I pulled down Warship. Now, Warship's a series by the BBC. And at the moment, they're on Queen Elizabeth II, which is an aircraft carrier. One of the big ones, one of the new ones. We got very close to the new aircraft carrier in Portsmouth 3 or 4 years ago. And we were chased off by the police. We're 150 yards away in our little boat. They chased us off because we look like illegal immigrants. Behave yourself. Anyway, you can't get near the thing when it's in port. Now, the series revolves around what goes on a tour of duty. And in this case, it was 7 months tour of duty. Now, this really is complimenting, I jest, the BBC and where they're at. They are so woke, it makes me furious. If they are out there to brainwash the nation, they have a clear agenda. They do it in all sorts of ways, but they do it very subtly through programs like this. They're out to push the usual diversity, equality, and every other thing you can think about in the woke culture we're in. Example, 1,600 seamen on this boat. I suppose, although the figures weren't given, 50 of those were girls. Fine. They can do lots of things, even on board that men can't do. But you watch that program, over a third of that program was about the women, not the men. Every shot, and obviously we're used to making programs, so we know what goes on. You had to have a woman walking with a man or a woman walking past the camera. That is a nonsense compared with the reality of life. Then you have a woman coming on talking to the captain. You try and get through to the captain of HMS Queen Elizabeth II. At any time, you'd have a problem, but the captain made available special time so he could encourage his ratings, inverted commas. Sorry, that was set up because women are just as good as men in a fighting situation. Not true. Physically, you can't be. Okay, I'm going to be in trouble, but I should carry on. The other thing that came out is that if you were especially West Indian, they had a chat between regular West Indians, fine. Black, white, polka dot, we couldn't care less, as long as they're good at the job. But they were talking about, oh, you can't come on my island because you were part of the slave trade 300 years ago. What's that got to do with everyday life on a warship? BBC, you're at it again. You won't stop. And it was pathetic because that program should have been good, interesting entertainment. All it was is woke softiness. And you thought, well, grief, that's our biggest warship. That's what we've got to head up the fleet. And if that lot, the crew, who were busy playing steel drums most of the time, acting, not warring, my goodness me, Putin's taken advantage of it, hasn't he?
Yeah, it's an interesting take on that program. The BBC are an organ or is an organization which is renegade. It's always been renegade within the news industry, by the kind of thing it covers, by the kind of thing it chooses to cover, by its middle class. Rightness, by its Toryism, by its now very left-wing trendyism, and but it has an inalienable right to stand up for what are classed as minority groups, and what are women are not classed as minority groups. It's about 50-50. So they're not standing up for minority groups with women, they're standing up for women. Now, I like women. I've always liked women. I get on with women. I've been married to loads of them, so I must do. And it's like the situation is this. I have mentioned this before on the program, but a long time ago, so I'll do it again. One of my first major stories for the national news industry within Britain, and it included television and the BBC, was about the men-only parts of public houses in Britain, the vaults, as they were known, the vaults where men went to drink by themselves, just be in manly company, play darts, play pool, play snooker, play, talk dirty, talk rude, tell, have barroom arguments, whatever. All part of a man's grist of the mill. As far as I'm concerned, being a working class bloke brought up in a drinking area in Manchester. So women suddenly said, you can't have a vault. You can't live in it. We want to be able to go in your vaults. And they did. And they all turned up in their like dungarees and with the short hair, trying to look like men who just come home from work, or in the business suits with the hair cut perfectly, and took over our vaults and took over our vaults. I tried at that time to join the Women's Institute, and was laughed off the face of the earth because, oh, you're a man, you can't join Women's Institute. Why can't I? You all look like men. And so then what happened was it all got forgotten about. Oh, until this week. And what are women now doing? They're demanding women-only places for safety in public areas. Well, we had that ages ago. What's wrong with, why can't we be safe? What do we get kicked out of our vaults completely now and vaults become purely for women? I don't know. Women are strange creatures. I love them incredibly and I have the greatest of respect and will fight to the death to protect the women in my life and women that I know that I believe. But there has to be a point where we say, yes, physically, I will personally. This is me. I don't know about you, actually. I've never asked you this, but I will cook, I will sew, I will make flowers grow, I will garden, I will also change oil in the car, I'll change a wheel on the car, and I'll go and build a wall. That last bit's a lie because I'm rubbish and stuff like that, but in principle, I will, and it'll fall down. Now, women can cook, sew, make flowers grow, blah, blah, blah. Fabulous, fabulous. But they don't want to go and change the oil on a car, did it? I have to do that after I've done all the jobs that I used to think were lady jobs. Terrible. Now I'll be shot as well by saying that. There's one last thing I have to say just to get me shot completely. Right, this is me dead. I said in a witty way, just in a witty way, I'm not renowned for being witty, but this moment I was witty when I had gone through a day, a whole day of going, well, what I think is, and then a lady person would jump in and finish the sentence for me and things like that. And I said, well, I wouldn't mind going to, and oh, I know where you are and all that kind. So I just said in a witty fashion, it ain't funny, I don't understand this. Every time as a bloke I open my mouth, a woman's voice comes out. Andrea didn't speak to me for 36 hours. Why is that so insulting? She then told all her friends, and two of them are still not speaking to me. Because I said every time I open my mouth, a woman's voice comes out. Because every time I open my mouth, a woman spoke.
Oh, he's in bother. My goodness me, he's done it now. Well, I'll tell you what, the cut to grass, or whatever it's called, of this...
And I'll do the cutting the grass.
I'm doing that. And this television documentary, was the fact that they had to do some combat training. And, of course, men and women were mixed together. But instead of doing the, you know, the arikati or the whatever it is, but they had big cushions. And the women and men were pushing cushions in each other's faces. Oh, please go to the Ukraine. Try that on. It's a nonsense, Lee. We're different. We're equal. Get over it. Even more so this week, because this very day, in fact, it's been announced that the top 30 British companies have achieved 40% of women executives on the board. Yeah. Now, hang on. 10 years ago, it was less than 10%. Now, let's call, and I know it's old-fashioned roles. There are certain roles men meet and there are certain roles women meet. They want 50-50. Well, hang on. If you had 50-50 in the Navy, the airport, Air Force, or whatever, or on boards, you are shoehorning some ladies into that position that are not fit for the job. I want to get rid, sorry girls, of all this nonsense. And I don't care whether there are 100 women on the board of directors. 100%. If they're better at it, fine. There was a young lady about nearly 15 years ago called Nicola. Seems to be very popular, isn't it? Not only in Scotland. And she was a bright lass and she did awfully well on the stock markets. And she had about 3 or 4 kids. And she was lauded. She could do everything, anything, anytime. You can't. It's not possible. So you've got to have priorities in your life. And let's stick to facts. We're both good at lots of things, but it's getting a bit out of hand now. And it's political, as things usually are. So let's stand back and think, what does a male do? Hunter-gatherer, some people may say. What does the ladies do? Oh, they're awfully good at bringing in a family. Now, that's not saying you can't do this if you're male, you can't do that if you're female. But what generally, globally, are we good at? Let's concentrate on that a little bit more than enforcement, because of one section of society and a tiny minority. And it's not just the women and men things. There's too much voice, probably due to social media, for these tiny groups that get, don't say, above themselves. We've got to stop it and question it. We can't stop it, but we can not cower in a corner and say, oh, we can't say that. It's hate speech. Come on. Get a bit of courage.
Yeah, I agree. Interesting point about Nicola is when you think Scotland, the man of the male skirt, sorry, the country of the male skirt, is now Nicholas. And yeah, it's the way things develop, isn't it? Now, yeah, women on the board of directors, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. In my own industry, I've seen things change where editorships were mainly a male domain. It was really, believe it or not, the Daily Mail, the Daily Star, and the Daily Mirror, followed very quickly by the Sun, that realised that there was a massive marketplace in the woman's world, rather getting away from celebrity football and opinion, which is basically what the news industry, certainly newspaper, tabloid newspapers, have become about. But they realised there was a massive marketplace, and so women were brought in. Now, that meant that you started to have women in power. Carol Malone was one of the first people. I worked with her on the Daily Star, of all places. And
it's
she,
not got any better, has it?
Well, to be honest, for any organization that knows its exact place in the marketplace, brilliant. It says categorically, you know, we just make things up, we have a laugh, we go for the laughs, we go for outrage, and we go for sex. That's fine. That's what they did. That's what Derek Jameson, when he took me on there, was all about. Carol was brought in. She became very well known, quite an executive and a powerful woman. And that then we started to notice that newspaper editors were becoming more and more leaning towards taking women on as editors. Now we have I'm going to use a funny word that I'm not sure it's the right word, but a plethora of women editors within the news industry, local newspapers, regional newspapers, everything. And that's because women are good at the jobs they do. Now, there is a phrase that used to be used a lot, you don't hear it very often now, which is jobs for the boys. Now, jobs for the boys actually meant that boys who weren't very good at the job could get a job because they were boys. And that hasn't happened necessarily within the female side of any of our major industries. Certain pockets of it have changed. But that has meant that women have actually had to use their skills and their knowledge and their abilities at times, and I say this straightforwardly and honestly, as a former employer, as a former editor, etc., they use their skills to a greater extent than we as men normally do because we don't have to. So any woman who gets to the top, brilliant. But if it's jobs for the girls, it needs stopping, just as jobs for the boys do.
Right, listen, we're going to do a little bit of a sideways motion and give him a rest because he's starting to look like the aforementioned Plant over his left shoulder. And he's done...
No, Robert Plant!
Yes, we've all been confused with... Well, you have, I know. But at a distance at night. We're going to let him off before he... sort of croaks his way back into a situation, but we've got to go on a last item called Posh Burgers. Now, it's interesting this because Lee's an aficionado of burgers.
Yeah.
One of our companies that we ran was Wimpy. Remember Wimpy? Espana, Wimpy Spain, for a number of years we were involved in running that all over Spain. So both of us are sort of have some knowledge about burgers. Lee's got the practical knowledge. He eats them, doesn't realise what he's eating half the time, but there you go. The Posh Burger came along about 5 years ago. Now, anybody can go to McDonald's. And if you want a burnt burger, you go to Burger King because they use flames. But it gives it an individual
flame
taste.
Burgers, yeah.
Yes, and And it's very good value for money. Until you look at the size of the bread and the size of the pâté, and you think, go, one bite of that, and it's gone, it is. So there's an out for now, as we say, up in the north. So somebody came along and said, we're going to have a posh burger. Now, we have got a particularly good posh burger very close to us. And we actually go there quite often because they give so many breads, even without gluten. You can have so many different types of chips. You can design your own burger. Ooh. And you can even have a spinach with proper spinach, not sort of canned or stuffed or whatever. You can have whatever you like in the burger. And it's about €9, so it's above average. So what's about that, 7.58 quid? And it's top burger. Now, the top burgers in Britain, I'm afraid, are more than that. Are they good value for money? Well, lots of chains opened in Britain as competition to McDonald's and Burger King. And they were very, very successful until Mr. and Mrs. Pandemic came along. My goodness me, I suppose there's a third of them left now. Of course, one has to think of the costs. That is surely one thing. And the other thing, it's getting people to work at these places because it's more, McDonald's and Burger King are machines. If you go in there, you can clearly see that. Whereas if it's an individual burger, you need a lot more people. So they're going out of business, which I regret because competition is good for everybody. Be careful which burgers you eat. Allegedly, never mind allegedly, we can prove it. Some of the big burger places, strip a cow. Now, by that, I mean they hang it up and this machine comes along flailing every bit of flesh. And dare I say, other parts of the cow, including eyeballs, and they make their pâtés out of 100% cow. Now, probably okay, but there's certain parts of the cow that you wouldn't go near, and it all comes out in the pâté. And allegedly, some of the people are actually using a kind of disinfectant to make sure it is edible, because everything goes in, allegedly. So, as usual, if you want the best, you've got to pay for it. Otherwise, enjoy your Big Mac and your big flaming burger from the other place.
It's an interesting point, and I'm not going to attack Britain on this, or women, or McDonald's, or Burger King. I'm not attacking anybody except the world. As a travel journalist, although obviously with things going on, it's 18 months since I've actually done any travel journalism. With the pandemic, etc. And the thing that we notice in Britain, we only noticed it this week, but we've noticed across the world, is how burgers have destroyed the restaurant industry, have made it boring, bland, repetitive, and not particularly worth going. That's why a lot of restaurants are shutting down, because we went out yesterday. I'd not eaten. I'd been very poorly. I'd lost weight. I'd had a poorly poisonous finger that poisoned me. And so I was starving, man. Absolutely starving. And we went to a place we know. I don't intend to name it. But it's... the reason I don't name it, because I can't remember what it's called. Anyway, it's a big, big complex of shops and restaurants. I think there are 1, 2, 3, 4, about 10 restaurants there. And I specifically wanted a big breakfast, British breakfast, you know. But we'd gone out late. It was about half past one. So it's good at lunchtime for restaurants. Breakfasts were off the menu, of course. There was a pie restaurant, British pies, where you could have all sorts of exotic pies. You couldn't have a meat and potato pie or a cheese and onion pie. You could have all sorts of exotic pies. So we started to go around the ordinary restaurants. Italians don't serve enough food for me for lunch, really, nice in the evenings. And we checked every restaurant. And you know what was on the menu in every restaurant? pizza, beef burgers, and fish and chips. That was it. I said, what happens? What has happened to the restaurant industry that everybody's become so myopic that they will only serve burgers, pizzas, and fish and chips? What has happened to the industry? What has happened to imagination? What has happened to good chefing? What has happened to imagination? One final thing I'll say on this. The reason I eat a lot, or have eaten in the past, a lot of beef burgers is because of being a traveling journalist, mainly as a travel writer, but also as, you know, various other reasons for traveling. And every travel journalist will tell you one thing. When you arrive in a country, the first place, if you're hungry or you need the bathroom to go, is McDonald's. Because first, it was always clean. Second, the food, a bit homogenized, but acceptable, probably won't kill you. I nearly did get killed by one in India, actually. I didn't, our chauffeur did. But that's the fact. That's why these have taken over. And because we now have a nation, and I'm going on about Britain now, a nation of fat kids, right? Fat children. We have a nation of fat children. Why have we done that to our children? We now say, well, that's the only eating McDonald's and places like that. Let's put it all on the menus in the restaurants, and all the little fat kiddlywinks will come here, right? It's wrong. It's wrong. Final point. The reason people get jobs at McDonald's now is because they pay slightly above the, right? And they give you a pretend, or not a pretend, no, that's wrong. It's not pretend at all. It's real, a real progression of your career. And you can become a manager, you can become all sorts of fabulous things. You know, you can have a Ford Mondeo if you want, I suppose. That's what you can aspire to. You're at Blackpool. Because what they're offering is a lifetime of flipping burgers. Terrible one.
Well, there you go. There we go. Very, very quickly. Fascinating. We've covered a lot of subjects, especially in the last one, the most important, of course. And we'll let him go for a lie down. He's earned it. And we'll see. Well, he could have been bitten in a worse place. We won't go there.
Exactly.
We'll just see you next week. Take care.
That's very kind of you. Thank you. Very enjoyable. See everybody next week.